The Indian elections are afoot. We have a billion people who are about to vote in the largest elections in the world. And we've just started yesterday, and it's going to happen over the next 2 or 3 weeks. I hope you vote as well. Namaste and welcome to this Bharat Varta Weekly. I'm Roshan Karyapa. I have with me Abhishek Paul. And we'll run you through the news and events of the week that was pretty slim pickings for this week, we should say. Obviously, the action continues with Israel and Iran. Israel struck back at Iran after they launched drone strikes against them. Then we had the case of security forces killing a wanted Naxalite, Shankar Rav. We'll also talk about BrahMos, the missile export to the Philippines, and of course, a few updates from the IPL to round things off. All this and more on this Bharat Varta Weekly. If this is your first time on the channel, do follow or subscribe to us for content on politics, policy and culture focused at India. Alright, let's start with some geopolitical stuff. Late last week, Israel struck back at Iran in response to Iran's attacks the previous week. This was a small deterrence move from Israel to demonstrate that the country has the capacity to hit Iran's innermost cities as the missiles were aimed at Isfahan, a city in the middle of Iran. Neither Israel nor Iran have made a big fuss about these attacks, suggesting that this was a one-time limited move. The rest of the world, however, is concerned and has called for an immediate de-escalation of the situation, as a wider war in the region could hurt everybody. Now, Abhishek, last week, you know, when Iran launched these drone attacks and all of those drones were intercepted, I had asked Nirav, our friend, if, you know, this was all costly signaling on the part of Iran. Well, Israel has sort of done the same thing, right? I mean, they've shown their capacity to kind of retaliate. Do you see this escalating further into a full-fledged war as such?
Yeah, we don't know, basically, because each of these countries has various calculations to keep in mind, right? So, for example, Israel's Gaza operation has kind of reached a sort of standstill, right? Or a sort of place where it's not really able to do much more because of the tremendous pressure that it is facing from the international community, right? So it is kind of going slow there. There is obviously always the chance that something might open up in the northern front from Hezbollah and Syria, etc., right? So Israel has to sort of keep its eyes wide open on all directions. And then, of course, Iran is like the mastermind behind many of these, right? And so, I mean, 330 missiles and drones is sort of unbelievable if you think about it, right? And the fact that countries like Saudi Arabia, Jordan helped out Israel was also a bit surprising, in the sense that it seems everyone is keen that, you know, this conflict does not go out of control, right? And so from what I saw, the Israelis have been saying that, you know, they had a tough time waiting out while Iran was planning out their attack, right? It took about 2 weeks for Iran to retaliate from the initial April 1 strike on the Iranian embassy in Damascus, right? So it seems that, you know, Israel has given a small taste of the medicine this week, but it may not be the end of it, right? Israel will also probably want to keep Iran guessing, right? Instead of, you know, totally telegraphing its moves. So it is, I think, a very, very volatile and unpredictable scenario. And both sides will try to take the other by surprise, probably. So, yeah. It's a very hard to predict scenario right now.
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty surreal situation, right? I mean, and especially now that technology has gotten to a point where wars can be almost remote, right? I mean, you are fighting through some advanced machines and drones and so on and so forth. Really, the cost of such signaling is not as much as, let's say, getting your troops to cross the border, for instance, right? So, yeah, it's a weird situation, obviously, and this has huge impact on the rest of the world as well, right? Oil prices are going up, right? And as uncertainty rises, gold has also risen by a significant amount, right? Overall, I think, everything is happening all at once on the macro front, right? I mean, you have the US elections at this point. The Fed was supposed to cut the rates. It hasn't done that yet. So there's a lot of uncertainty on the macro at this point of time. So, yeah, navigating, the next year or so might be really challenging for most countries, I feel. Well, all right, let's talk about something we haven't heard in quite a long time, more precisely since 2016, 2017. In possibly one of the biggest anti-Maoist operations, security personnel in Chhattisgarh neutralized at least 29 Naxalites in Kanker district. Reports state that the top Maoist leader, Shankar Rao, was among those killed in a raging gun battle between Naxals and district reserve guards and border security forces. A large amount of arms and ammunition was recovered during the operation, including 7 AK-47s and 3 light machine guns, among other smaller weapons. Well, like I mentioned, I think post demonetization, the back of the Naxalist operation was kind of broken, right? And since then, there were security strikes and so on. So most threats were neutralized. So this is, unusual in some sense, right? But yeah, Abhishek, I mean, do you see that, this could perhaps flare up to a sort of a bigger problem or a nuisance, or, this is just some kind of a remote thing?
Well, I mean, on the positive side, this is the most, let's say, if we can say it, the biggest success that our security forces have had in Chhattisgarh since the creation of that state, right? So, in fact, the top two, let's say, number of Maoists killed in encounters, both of them have happened in over the last month, right? So, yeah, I think there continues to remain some, very interior terrain in Chhattisgarh where the Maoists do hold out, right? And so, what has been happening is that over time, slowly but surely, the Indian security forces are trying to, push deep into these Maoist strongholds. These are difficult terrains, they don't have roads, and so on. And so, yeah, I mean, it's slow, painstaking work for our security forces to, completely clear out these areas of these Maoists. I don't know if it will ever happen that we'll get rid of it 100%, but I mean, this current government and hopefully the next government, if they are elected back, will continue to, remain strong in this fight against these Maoist terrorists. Yeah.
So national security has been one of the strong points of this government, right? So yeah, I hope we're able to crack down on these Naxals. Well, all right, the central piece of news for this week: the festival of democracy has begun. India has begun its elections in 102 constituencies across 21 states, and the first phase has just started. These states include Tamil Nadu, voting in all constituencies, Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Uttarakhand, Arunachal Pradesh, and others with partial seats. The voter turnout across states ranged from 50 to 65%. These were numbers reported by about 7 p.m. in the evening. Well, it doesn't feel like election season, so to speak, in Bangalore at least. I mean, you don't have as many banners, as many rallies, even leading up to the polls as such, right? I mean, I understand this is a cool-off period and, there is a restriction. But yeah, I mean, it feels sort of matter of fact at this point. Right, the exit polls all seem to indicate a thumping majority for the current government.
Opinion polls.
Yeah, sorry, the opinion polls. Wait, let me say that again. The opinion polls all seem to indicate a thumping majority for the current government. It's not without a few of these controversies, right? I mean, you're already seeing in coordination a few articles on, let's say, the EVMs or, the fact that, the BJP has gamed these elections or the elections don't matter or that, the South states are a bulwark against, rising electoral autocracy and so on and so forth, right? What's your favorite pick, Abhishek?
Yeah, I think there is something going around in the New York Times about how the character of the lions has changed in India's symbol, right? It seems they used to be earlier very meditative, contemplative lions who have now become, this very hyper-aggressive Hindu beast. So I think that was my favorite out of all of these. But yeah, I think phase one, it did not go without incident. I believe there were some incidents of
probably
violence in West Bengal and probably Manipur yesterday. So, but yeah, I think the turnout was kind of on expected lines. I mean, each of our states has a very different sort of character. You can't generalize, right? So, for example, West Bengal is a high turnout state. It probably did up close to 80%. But Bihar, on the other hand, is, did around 50%. So, turnout is around those lines. And we just have to wait and see how the rest of the phases go.
Yeah, my favorite bit was the hue and cry about Doordarshan changing its logo to the saffron color. Right. Well, we'll see more of this. But one thing for sure, I mean, if you look at, how enthusiastic people have been about voting and exercising the franchise, one can't deny that it is democratic, right? I mean, at least the people's will is being respected and represented and reflected, right? All right. On Friday, India delivered the first batch of the BrahMos supersonic missiles to Philippines. The delivery comes as a part of a $375 million deal struck between India and Philippines back in 2022. The missiles were delivered aboard a C-17 Air Force aircraft by the IAF, who also took some sweets for the Filipinos. This delivery comes amid a showdown between Philippines and China in the South China Sea, which has been ongoing for a couple of months, and the delivery will also significantly augment the country's defensive capabilities. Well, Abhishek, I mean, we're getting to a point where we're actually serious about exporting in the defense sector, right? I mean, from being like a massive importer of defense equipment and so on and so forth, I think this is a milestone moment.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, when the deal was signed, also we had discussed it in Bharat Varta Weekly like a couple of years ago, right? Kind of tells us how long we have been doing this. But so India did sign this deal, I think, in 2022. And now it's good to see that we are actually, going ahead and delivering these missiles over to Philippines. I believe India has been conducting training as well of the naval personnel of the Philippines Navy, to train them to use these missiles as well. So, yeah, it continues to be part of the larger cooperation that you see India having with many countries in the Asia Pacific as part to counterbalance against China. It is not only the big headlines making news items with the Quad, but also, partnerships such as Philippines, which will, be very crucial in this aspect.
Yeah. I mean, 375 million is obviously, I mean, it's chump change when it comes to, defense
it's a
and
good
whatnot.
start.
But it's a great start, right? And I think this is something that people routinely miss. The government is also procuring about $1 billion worth of GPUs from NVIDIA. And someone had suggested that, for the third largest economy, we should be procuring $30 or $40 billion worth of, GPUs, right? And I was just thinking, that's approximately, I think, maybe like 40% or something of the annual education budget, right? And, just to put things in perspective, right? I think some of these things, it's so important to be directionally right, at least, because I think then then you can iterate and compound, right? I mean, you get to a 30, 40 billion over time. But the fact that, you show will to do something, like in this case, equip our neighbors, let's say against China, I mean, it shows a strong will. And that you cannot underestimate for sure, right? All right, we'll wind up with a few IPL updates. Abhishek, a lot of high-scoring games. Any standout performances from the games that have happened thus far?
So I have not at all been watching IPL this season.
That's the experience of every RCB fan.
Yes. So for example, I saw the news about a youngster called Ashutosh Sharma who performed, very credibly. And it's a bit sad, like reading about him, that he had made his debut about 3-4 years back, and then, he got kind of lost. He didn't get good cooperation from his coaching staff and things like that. So in a way, it's actually good that IPL exists, right? You can always change teams or move around places, which it's not so easy to do in the domestic circuit always for youngsters. I was actually listening to a couple of podcasts that our captain Rohit Sharma attended. At least he's, since probably he no longer captains the Mumbai Indian side, he's kind of more free to talk about things. So there's a podcast called, I forget the name, but it is hosted by Michael Vaughan and Adam Gilchrist, which he was the guest on. And they were talking about this impact player rule, right, which is kind of skewing the balance between bat and ball now, right? And since it does not actually translate into international cricket, which does not have the rule, what is happening is some of our all-round options are no longer bowling in the IPL, right? So let's say you have someone like Shivam Dubey, who is batting really well for CSK. But ideally, you would have wanted to see him bowl also a couple of overs every match. But it's probably not required in this impact player scenario. And that is kind of a detriment to our national team chances. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I happened to watch the Chennai Super Kings, Lucknow Super Giants match yesterday. Right. And LSG obviously, pulled off an upset winning against CSK. Tight match, right? I mean, came down to, I think, the last but one over. Similarly, the Mumbai Indians and the Punjab match as well, right? I mean, which MI won. So today we have Delhi playing Sunrisers Hyderabad. And of course, tomorrow we have RCB playing KKR. As an RCB fan or whoever is left of RCB, the RCB fandom, that is, well, we will still watch the match. Let's see what happens. So hopefully, something new. Right. So anyway, that brings us to the end of this Paratvartha Weekly. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have suggestions for, topics we could cover, guests we could invite, please let us know in the comments and we will try and do that. Thank you again for joining us. From Abhishek and myself, do stay safe. Take care and Jai Hind.